Hi guys, and welcome to the first episode of The Moonalogues. Hello world, hello change.
I hope you're good. I hope you're healthy. I hope you feel well rested and that you woke up with a smile on your face this morning. And if you haven't smiled yet, I hope that the stories you will hear today in today's episode will change that, and that this podcast episode will bring you a little bit of optimism, a little bit of joy, and that you share it with other people. This episode is called A Park Bench is Not Just a Park Bench. And you might have guessed it, we're going to talk about park benches. And today's stories are going to bring you to the US and Zimbabwe. So let's do this. Have you ever found yourself walking down the streets feeling lonely? Lonely even though you were in the midst of people? Well, I know this feeling. Loneliness is not something we talk much about, right? And by we, I mean society, generally speaking, anywhere on the globe. Were you aware that the UK was the first nation to have a Minister of Loneliness, a position that was created in 2018? The idea behind it was that there was an awareness in the British government that loneliness had increased, especially among the elderly, and they wanted to take countermeasures. Japan followed suit in February 2021, so just in this year. It's called the Isolation/Loneliness Countermeasures Office, and it has the task of tackling issues like suicide and child poverty, which have increased during the COVID pandemic. Loneliness has become much more of an issue since we all have been asked to keep our social distance. But loneliness is nothing new. The feeling of loneliness is one of the most common feelings in today's world. Despite all the social media, friends, and connections, we sometimes get caught by this inner feeling of being left out, of not fitting in. Loneliness has different roots for different people. You can feel lonely because your needs are not shared by anyone else, because you don't feel understood, or because you feel overwhelmed by life while everyone else seems to be just doing great. So what can you do when there is simply no one there who will listen to you or with whom you can talk about your worries or your feelings of loneliness? I guess most of us have had the experience that it's not so easy often to talk about our own feelings, especially if they're perceived to be negative. Negative in the sense of, you know, it's not something that we share and say, you know, I'm not feeling good, I'm struggling with life, because they're not well perceived that you're then a winner or managing life as it is. And walking up to the world and saying, hey, I'm a bit lonely right now, is really not a sentence that is easily spoken out loud, right? Because admitting that you're lonely means that you would admit to others that you lack connection. And sometimes it would mean confessing to yourself that you feel disconnected, that there is something missing. Admitting to yourself and or to others that you're lonely is something that takes courage, because you make yourself vulnerable, and being vulnerable goes against our inner survival mechanisms. We all got to realize how important human contact is, especially since the global introduction of social distancing. But the loss of personal connections is something that affects many people even without a pandemic. After all, humans are and remain social creatures. Without connections to other people, we are lost. Johan Hari, a British journalist and author, wrote a book in 2019 called Lost Connection, in which he quotes a statistic that deals with the following question. How many people do you have in your life that you can turn to in a case of personal crises? Who are the people who stand by you when you feel overwhelmed by life itself, when you just can't manage it anymore on your own, or simply need encouragement and support? How many people do you have that you can turn to in case of a personal crisis? 10? Less? More? The number the researchers got to this question came quite as a shock. 5. Only 5. We have a maximum of 5 close friends we can turn to in times of need. 5 at the most. Just a few decades ago, most people had a lot more than five close friends they could rely on when in doubt. In the US these days, the numbers of close friends is even lower. A study found that 1 in 4 people in the US feels as though they have no one to talk to. We are talking about people who don't have a single person they can turn to in a case of personal crisis.
No close confidant.
Despite worldwide networking through social media, despite upteen Facebook friends, LinkedIn contacts, and Instagram followers. This type of loneliness is not an occurrence limited to one specific region in the world. You know, it's not just the US or just the East or just the West or the South or the North.
It doesn't depend on where you live, and it doesn't depend on how much money you have in your bank account.
It is a mechanism that is increasingly found all over the world. We need a solution. We need to give people the opportunity to open up in real life with real people. To build a connection that goes beyond the internet. We all need a safe place that allows us to open up, where we can admit that we have worries, where we can admit that we struggle, that we might be lonely. A place without judgment. Not because we like to wallow in self-pity, but to recognize our own feelings so that then we might seek the best solution and actually take a step. And the solution can be quite simple. Buddy benches. 7 years ago, I first came across the concept of the so-called friendship bench or buddy bench. At that time, the buddy bench was initiated by Christian Bucks from York in the US state of Pennsylvania. He wanted to ensure that no one was alone or even lonely during recess in the schoolyard. Christian Bucks was still in the second grade of primary school when he noticed that some of his classmates were lonely during break time. No one played with them. His solution was simple and pragmatic. Buddy bench. A literal bench to find buddies right there at the playground. Children who feel lonely or sad can sit down on the buddy bench. The other kids can then join them, invite them to play, or just be there for them. It was Christian's goal to create the best circle of friends with the help of buddy bench. The idea of such a bench spread quickly, and more banks are being set up everywhere, not only in the US. Children can sit down on this bench, and then they learn to openly admit that they feel lonely or sad, and maybe that they just need a bit of attention or would like to be invited to play with the other kids. And at the same time, the other kids learn to focus on someone else's needs. The children become aware what's going on in others and what someone else might need, and they can offer help and support. Would I sit on such a bench if it existed in my office or in a park? I don't know. I'm thinking probably not. After all, it would really, you know, take something to admit openly that you're feeling overwhelmed by life and the challenges it currently presents, and that in public nonetheless. Children are much better at owning up to their feelings. Somehow, as grown-ups, we have come to believe it's better to hide our own feelings of insecurity, loneliness, and vulnerability. All those feelings that make us appear inept to cope with life. We fear judgment, and we've learned that we need to cope. Just to avoid any misunderstandings, I'm not suggesting that we should go out and shout out all our feelings we encounter throughout the day, right? It's not about, oh, I'm feeling great, I'm feeling sad, I'm feeling anger. That's not going to help. But I think there is much to be said in favor of recognizing our own feelings and then finding a way to handle them with care and in a way that is empowering instead of, you know, hiding them away. Dragging ourselves down is easy. Uplifting ourselves is somehow much harder. However, if we never give ourselves the space to admit that we've reached our coping limit, things can detour and cause serious effects on our mental health and overall well-being. People aren't machines that perform at the same level all the time. And being allowed to admit that things are a bit tough can help to break that spell of feeling inadequate. In Harare, the capital city of Zimbabwe, there is a project that tries to do exactly that. To break the spell of loneliness and the feeling of being overwhelmed by giving people a safe space. A safe space to share. And you might have guessed it, the safe space is on a bench. I'm here for you. Would you like to share your story? Zimbabwe counts 16 official languages, one of which is English. Its capital, Harare, counts almost 1.5 million people. If you walk attentively through the city, you will see elderly women in brown uniforms sitting on various benches everywhere. They invite you to sit with them and tell them about your worries. And they just listen to you. The wooden benches on which the grandmothers are sitting are known in the African country as friendship benches or granny benches. This initiative was founded in 2006 by Dr. Dixon Chibanda because for him the granny benches are the solution to what is called Kufungisisa. Kufungisisa is a word from the Shona language and can be translated into thinking too much. Kufungisisa describes what we commonly understand by depression. But talking about depression and worry is still a taboo in Zimbabwe, as it is in most countries around the world. On a TED Talk, Dr. Chibanda tells the story of what inspired him to found the granny benches. When Dr. Chibanda received a phone call in the middle of the night from an emergency room over 200 kilometers or 125 miles away about 15 years ago, he did not know yet that this call would change his work and the lives of many people in Zimbabwe. According to the emergency doctor, the psychiatrist should come quickly because they had been treating a patient of his, Erica. Erica had been admitted because of a suicide attempt. Physically, she was fine, but they needed Dr. Chibanda to evaluate Erica's mental health. In a country with a population of 16.5 million people and currently 17 registered psychiatrists, it was a common practice to call a psychiatrist living hundreds of miles away in order to treat a patient. For a long time, Dr. Chibanda had worked as a traveling doctor for the World Health Organization in his home country. At that time, roughly 15 years ago, there were a total of only 12 psychiatrists across the country, and they could not be everywhere at the same time. Abuse, violence, conflict, isolation, and loneliness. These are all causes for depression, the tall man with glasses explains. But if there is only one psychiatrist for 1.5 million people in developing countries, that means 19% of people who need support for mental illnesses are not going to get any help. Dr. Chibanda promised Erica's mother that he would look after her daughter. She would only have to come to Harare. But Erica never came. Because she and her family could not afford the $15 for a bus ticket to travel 125 miles to reach the capital. The fact that Erica couldn't receive the help she needed because of $15 really got to Dr. Chibanda. I could not expect people to come to me, he says. The healthcare system needed to be rethought. And the new approach was simple. Grandmothers. Grandmothers are the most reliable resource in Africa, the doctor explains. They exist in every community. There are hundreds of them. And they don't just leave their community to find happiness elsewhere. They stay and listen. Like Grandmother Jack. The old lady is chatting with Farai, a young unemployed mother who is plagued by worries. Worries she can't share with anyone. When Farai cries, Grandma Jack gently puts her hand on her shoulders and moves a little closer to the single mother. It's okay to cry. You've been through a lot. Do you want to tell me more? The grandmothers on the friendship benches have received a training in talk therapy. They have the skills to listen, to show empathy, and know a few methods from cognitive therapy. But most importantly, the conversation with them is non-judgmental. You are allowed to pour out your heart without being judged. More than 30,000 people in 70 communities in Zimbabwe have used the support of the grandmothers on the benches. And the first scientific evaluations of the friendship benches are a testimonial of the overwhelming success of the simple solution. Already 6 months after the conversation, the talk treatment by the elderly women, the patients are free of kufungisisa. Suicide rates have also dropped, and perhaps most important of all, the grandmothers are more effective at treating depressions than doctors. Farai, for example, had found 2 jobs after only 6 sessions with Grandmother Jack. And the grandmothers also benefit from the friendship benches. They get something to do and contribute to the community. They are needed and can use their life experience to support and help younger people. And they are connected to the world again, without social media. Dr. Dixon Chibanda wants to further expand the Friendship Benches program. There are more than 600 million people worldwide who are over 65. 600 million people. Imagine the change we could make in the world if we could build a global network of grandmothers who could provide talk therapy in every city in the world, he says enthusiastically. That was Chibanda's wish back in 2017. Even though the global network of grandmothers has not yet manifested, the Friendship Bench project has grown. There are now youth friendship benches. These benches are aimed at young people aged 16 to 19 who can sit on these benches and talk to young adults about their worries and fears. And they know that someone is always there for them, willing to listen without judgment. Even in Corona times, the Friendship Benches program continues. Some conversations are held online, but most people prefer to talk to one of the elderly ladies in person, even if it is a health risk. This is because vaccines are almost non-existent in Zimbabwe. We're talking COVID-19 vaccines. Despite the risks, many of the grandmothers choose to continue providing health services to the others. The Granny Benches team has received face masks so that they can contain the spread of the coronavirus. And all of them are also complying with the other COVID-19 regulations in place. These are very, very dedicated women who continue their work because they find it so important and so fulfilling and meaningful, says Friendship Bench Program Director Ruth Verhey. From the point of view of privileged countries, this behavior might quickly be seen as dangerous. After all, more people could become infected with the coronavirus. An alternative viewpoint is kufungisisa can also be deadly. In a country where internet connections are a privilege and psychiatrists are rare, personal contacts and healthcare cannot simply be transferred to virtual space. Giving people a chance to connect, to be listened to, and to feel support can be life-altering. And what's true for the granny benches in Harare and the buddy benches in the US is true for all countries and cultures. We can always help one another. We just need to adapt to the circumstances in which we find ourselves. I'm here for you. Would you like to share your story?